Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have it, some kids don't. Wow. Some of us are
wondering why. Well, you knew it when you saw it on the schedule. The Blue Jackets, you just, you know, chalk it up.
Yeah. You lick your wounds and you move on to the next destination.
Yeah, like the Sabres game.
If you can get out there having only allowed 8, I think you consider yourself fortunate.
You know, while I was sitting at the Ristorante, they had the game on, and I saw that it was, I think it was 7 goals already.
It was 7-1 at one point, yeah.
And I'm like, geez, Blues getting shipped. And then it ended. And I'm like, oh, 7 goals, that's pretty rough. I figured it was the end of the game.
That's mid-second period.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God, there's still more fun. Yep. What is going on there?
I don't know. I didn't like the moves they made in the offseason, and I like them even less now.
Well, I don't know really what moves they made in the offseason.
Well, just not to – I thought they should have brought Backus back. I thought he was the heart and soul of the team. He gave him some size. He gave him a presence in front of the net. He got some cheap, easy goals. They don't get those anymore. They don't get any of those. They don't have any size.
And I do wonder if the smaller version of this team – they're big on, you know, the defense has size, but I'm talking about the goal scorers, if they get worn down – because they get pushed around a little bit. And then I wonder, too, you know, you have the coach in waiting there, something I talked about, and, you know, that's a bad dynamic usually. Maybe this has nothing
to do with
it. But
if you're a player and you're out on the ice, are you really thinking, well, I don't have to do this because Mike Yao is going to take over? I don't think so. I think they go as hard as they can every shift. They just don't have the players right now, I don't believe. I think they're too finesse-oriented.
We will continue that discussion with Cam Jansen. He's going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock, the former Blues enforcer, and he will be joining us here in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, he will be a regular co-host with TJ Moe, Eric Messersmith, Hannah Ray, and Matt Whitener from 4 to 7. The crew from We Are Live moves to 2 to 4, Doug. That's how it moves. The crew
okay.
From 2 to 4. So they're on the first half of your afternoon drive. Cam and TJ, Eric, Hannah Ray, and Matt on your second half of afternoon drive starting on November 25th. Hey, the Colonel is with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. He's brought to you by Bud Light. Good morning, Colonel.
Hello, Kernsey.
Hi, Colonel.
Hello, Colonel.
Gabe.
Gabe! Oh, there he is.
What happened, Gabe?
He was watching Chiefs highlights.
I'm thinking it was probably your guys' fault.
Clip that off.
Yeah, I think that's probably the tightest of reads. I think that was the tightest of reads. I hate to do it, but I'd have to put the action on the plow saber. Plow saber, is that accurate or is that a mischaracterization?
That's why Gabe's a pro. It was 100% my fault. Hit the wrong line on the phone, so Gabe, my apologies.
For heaven's sakes, Plowsy.
Surprise Mike Lee didn't pop up.
You gave me 4 seconds on the end of this interview.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure when Doug asks you about the uniforms for this weekend's game against Tennessee, you'll want a lot more time than that.
Yeah, what are they wearing this weekend, Gabe?
I believe just everybody's going all orange. They're all orange.
That'll impress the recruits.
Probably. Yeah. The young kids love that.
Colonel, you know, I mean, whatever. It was a horrible football game. Blah. Nobody was there. Blah. But it looks like they have a running back.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't agree it was a horrible football game. I've seen better, but I've seen a lot worse in the last 2 years. I mean, that
Your bar is so low from what you have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah, but that held my attention for the better part of 3.5 hours. But look, they won. Yeah, Demarie Crockett, you like him. The biggest thing I take away from that game, honestly, is the defense, and especially the defensive line, was as close to last year as it's been this year. And it just – it really makes you wonder, why change what didn't need to be changed at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, why in the world would they have done that? Because weren't they ranked like 6th or 7th defensively last year and had about 6 starters coming back, and you're going to change the defense?
Yeah.
Have you gotten an explanation on that?
They were top 10 in points and yards. And yeah, I don't know. Nobody ever really has given a satisfactory answer. I mean, it's been asked and asked, and we don't really know. But as they start to play a little bit better, and I thought Saturday – and now, look, Vandy is not a great offensive football team. They're not even a good offensive football team. But Missouri had six sacks. They put some hits on guys. Charles Harris was Charles Harris. Marcel Frazier looked like a guy who could play. Nate Howard got back in. And I mean, you just have to think, if they'd done this all year, do they beat Georgia? Do they beat Middle Tennessee? And are we sitting here talking about a 5-5 team that needs to win one game to go to a bowl?
And Drew Locke made some good throws. I mean, I don't know if the jury's still out on him, but it looks like that he's going to be a good quarterback eventually.
Well, I think the jury's definitely still out, but that is a good Vandy defense. I thought Saturday was the best I've seen Drew play. He was 22 of 37 for 294, a couple touchdowns, and he had five passes that, I mean, he put on guys that were dropped. He easily could have been 27 for 37 for close to 400 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, he was probably as sharp as I've seen.
And even though they've had some games this year where they've been kind of blown out, they've still been able to score. Most Saturdays, no, whoever they've played against, they've still been able to score pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, not obviously against LSU. They really, I think, have had a lot of garbage time points. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when a basketball team's down 30 and they get it back to 12, it's like, well, that's all well and good, but the other team wasn't really trying. I mean, when LSU and Florida and Kentucky are up four touchdowns on you, they don't really care if you score because they know you're not going to win the game. The offense has been better than last year, still not where it needs to be, but definitely better than last year.
Disappointing crowd. How many were there at the peak?
You know, I'm terrible at estimating that. They said 50. I would guess it was probably closer to 40, but I mean, that's not a surprise. You know, I mean, hey, it was deer season. It was Vanderbilt. Yeah. They're really bad. You know, it was about what I expected.
Well, I'm surprised if it would have been that many. So the shots I saw of the crowd looked like it. Geez, they might have had 20, 25, but it looked better than that, though.
It was definitely more than that. I would say it was close to 40, but again, I'm not positive. That's right.
What did you make of all the upsets around the country, number 2, 3, and 4 all going down the same week?
This is why it's so fun. You know, I mean, I got home in time to watch the last few minutes of Michigan-Iowa, and that was probably I don't know, Clemson-Pitt was awfully surprising. But in the end, what it means is the only team out of those three that really lost anything was Washington. I mean, Clemson and Michigan, if they went out, they're still going to be in the playoff. There's almost no doubt about that. And I understand a lot of people want to go to 8. But if you go to 8, there's really not a lot of suspense. The suspense at 8 is going to be, are Colorado or Oklahoma going to figure out a way to get in? The suspense at 4 is, what happens if Penn State wins the Big Ten and maybe still the only Big Ten team in the playoff is Ohio State? You know, which is a very real possibility. Can Washington still get back in? You know, they're realistically, I'd say, 7 teams with a pretty decent shot to get in, and then you've got a couple kind of on the fringe. You know, Wisconsin's probably on the fringe, but it's fun. This is going to be an exciting 3 weeks, except for Alabama, who has 2 games left and all that, or 3 games left, and if they win 2 of them, they're absolutely in.
Alabama clinching the SEC West with Auburn losing at Athens. Maybe I'm missing an obvious one, but this is the first time in a while that I feel like there is one team and then there is everybody else. And perhaps over this Nick Saban run at Alabama, there have been other instances, but this one, you know, I mean, the number 2 team was Clemson. And for those of us who monitor this stuff, mainly for gambling reasons. Clemson's had many near-death experiences, and it finally caught up with them on Saturday. The one that actually was most surprising, even though Iowa has played really well at home historically, was Michigan, because Iowa's coming off a horrible. Who'd they lose to the week before, Colonel? Do you remember? I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I think it was Penn
they got
State.
Shipped
like
by somebody the week before.
Or something.
They got murdered, but they play really well at home. And from a gambling perspective, that number was at 21.5, which I believe was comparable to the Clemson-Pittsburgh spread as well. But Iowa hasn't lost by three touchdowns, like going back to the 90s or something like that. So I really liked Iowa as far as covering, but not necessarily winning. And on the other side of it, Michigan's been so damn dominant. Washington was surprising in the sense that USC started the season 1-3, but ever since making a quarterback change, they've been on a tear themselves and now find themselves at number 15 in the country. But I just don't – my point in bringing all of this up outside of some gambling knowledge is that I just don't feel like any of these teams that we've rattled off would be in the class of Alabama. Maybe Ohio State, but Ohio State's kind of jacked around a few times themselves. They just shipped Maryland, but they kind of, dodged a bullet once themselves before also losing. So my question is, who do you think is the next best after Alabama?
Boy, I mean, probably Ohio State, but I would never discount either Clemson or Louisville, because I think those two teams, every time they take the field, have the best player in the game in Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. But, it's pretty interesting. We have this conversation a lot. Like, every couple, 3 years, ESPN wants to push on us, is this like the greatest team we've ever seen? And now, let me say, I think this is the best Alabama team Nick Saban's had. The defense is unreal. The defense has outscored some offenses in college football. Jalen Hurts, I have a Heisman vote, and right now I've got him second in who I'd probably vote for the Heisman. So, they're obviously a great team. But look back over history, and it's not just in college football. The 18-0 Patriots, USC in like 05 when they played Texas, Miami when they ran into Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl. Going into those, the whole conversation was, it's not whether they're going to win, it's by how many they're going to win, and then are they the greatest team ever or the second greatest or the third greatest? And they all got beat. And so while the gap is huge, this is why they play. I mean, on any if Ohio State and Alabama line up 10 times, Alabama's going to win more than 5 of them, but they're not going to win all 10. I don't think – I mean, Alabama will be a prohibitive favorite, obviously, but I don't think it's impossible that they could get beat.
No, and that's, of course, not the premise of the question. The question is, I don't recall a gap like this, and then even – and I agree with you, but, I mean, that's ESPN and
Fox
Sports.
No,
everything has to be the best game ever, the best team. But just who the second-best team is.
Yeah, the second-best team, I would say the second best team is Ohio State. I would say the best chance to beat Alabama would be either Clemson, which was awfully close to doing it last year, and I understand they've been down, but Deshaun Watson is still a star, or Louisville, because Lamar Jackson is far and away the best player in college football. But, I mean, the last gap this big that I remember, I would say going into the bowls was probably that 0-1 Miami team that got beat by Ohio State. The biggest gap I think I've ever seen was 1995 Nebraska, that team that, Tommy Frazier broke tackles by the entire Florida defense, and they beat Spurrier by 40 points in the Orange Bowl. I mean, nobody was close to them.
Gabe DeArmond with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. He is presented to you by Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what you're expecting, but Missouri basketball opened the season last night. Doug, you're a big Alabama.
I'm a big Frankie Hughes fan all of a sudden. Yeah. Boy, he looked good.
What do you think of the win last night for the Fighting Tigers? I realize it's tough to gauge anything in that game, but anything stand out to you from preseason and or last night?
I mean, it's pretty tough to gauge, but they did what they should have done and probably a little more. I mean, look, we don't think Central Missouri is a real good team, and they pushed Missouri to the last 40 seconds last week. There are going to be nights when Colin Van Leer and Frankie Hughes are making shots like they were last night where you say, hey, I think this team might be pretty good. And then there are going to be nights when those shots aren't going in that they can't score 60 points. You know, last night didn't do anything to change my expectation. I think this is a team somewhere between 12 and 16 wins. It's going to be a difficult year. What you hope, I think, are two things. They're more competitive in that, yeah, you're going to lose to Kentucky and Xavier and Arizona, but maybe you put up a fight for a little while. You know, you may lose to an A&M or an Ole Miss, but the game isn't over 8 minutes in. So you hope for them to be more competitive and then, frankly, pull off a couple where you say, hey, they're clearly not a better team than a Florida or, you know, whoever. But they managed to win a game. That's what we haven't seen the last couple of years. Outside of one game against Florida at the end of the – I think it was 2 years ago. I mean, outside of that, they have – pretty much never won a game that you didn't say going in, well, yeah, that's a game they should win. I mean, to me, the measuring sticks in this non-conference season, they go to Orlando this week. They're going to lose to Xavier on Thursday. But then they get Davidson or Clemson. You know, that's kind of a measuring stick game. Those are good programs, not great teams, but good programs. What can Missouri do against them? And then the Illinois game right before Christmas. Look, Illinois is probably going to be favored in that game. I think they're a little better than Missouri probably, but they're not in great shape either right now. So, you know, that's a game where I think you could say, hey, let's see. If there's really been progress, let's see it there.
Gabe DeArmond, Power Mizzou, brought to you by Bud Light with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Read him at powermizzou.com. Follow him on Twitter at Gabe DeArmond. Colonel, we appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
See you. Bye, thanks,
Gabe DeArmond with us here. Says Missouri will be wearing all orange. God, Saturday at Knoxville. How the hell is that the CBS 2:30 game? Is that like punishment to Vern Lundquist before he ships out?
I don't know, unless they have some agreement that everybody has to be on that 2:30 national game at least once.
They do not, because you don't see Vanderbilt and Kentucky popping up in there.
Yeah, but I would say Missouri is sort of America's team.
I guess.
You're looking to expand your rating base.
Yeah, it's the crown jewel of the Great Plains, that's for sure.
Yeah. Nice. There's your answer. All we need is to look within.
Nice take. And that's exactly what we're doing right now.
Text in 855-CUB-TALK. Call in 855-CUB-TALK. It's how you can get involved on the radio program, the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Cam Jansen with us at 9 o'clock on the Blues. Do you think Ken Hitchcock survives 2016-17?
Gosh, I hope so. I hope he does. You know, I mean, look what he's done. Last year they were... You know, went to the conference final, two wins away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals. The previous years, they've been one of the better teams in the Western Conference. I don't think he's forgotten how to coach here all of a sudden.
Well, based on what they did last year and got them closer than they've been in a long while, I would have given him a couple of years. But they gave him one, and I think that's the root of whatever issues there may be for him. You know, he was not comfortable with just the 1 year. And so I think, you know, regardless of what happens, he's going to coach again somewhere. I believe that. I could be wrong.
I don't know. There's not a lot of hockey coaches that survive a year where you performed well under expectations. And this could be that year based on what we've seen the last 3 weeks. So if they do have a bummer of a season, miss the playoffs or something, I could see where, you know, they might make a change before the end of the year. But I hope not. I think he's earned the right to hang on no matter what happens this season.
And I think we would all agree they're talented. Are they as talented as last year? Probably not. They lost, you know, the guys that got them to that postseason run that we were looking for.
Yeah. But Backus, Brower, Elliott, those were maybe their three top performers they had in the playoffs.
And I get it. They had to make some tough financial decisions. They wanted to take care of Jaden Schwartz, who I think will be a very good player, is now. And the guys like Fabry are going to get better, young players. So I get where they're coming from. But I agree, if they could have kept a Brower or a Backus. And, you know, maybe that didn't make any financial sense, but I think that would help this particular team.
Yeah, I do too.
Sources tell me the first hour podcast is acting up. So whatever happened there, I know that the Seamaster, B-Marks, Iggy, Plow Saber, they're on it. We'll get it shot and fixed up. People want to podcast this show.
They do. And this is how I know, is that all of a sudden later in the day, something I said, you know, in the 7 o'clock hour, 3 o'clock, someone tweets at me about it. People podcast like the dick.
Doug, you ought to podcast the show. You really ought to.
I just can't get used to podcasting anything.
God, I love podcasting.
When I'm in the car, I want something that's live. I can't get past that. I don't know why. I can't get past it. I want to hear the live guy
on
the radio.
I'm morphing strictly into podcasting now, almost.
In the car, when you're driving around, you podcast.
Yeah.
I'm with Doug. Maybe that's a sign that we're geezers, that we are totally out of touch with the way people do it now, and Tim is a cool.
Well, it could be from the days where if there was any news that broke, you were going to hear it live on the radio, and now generally you see it on Twitter or Facebook or something like that, and so we're still kind of tuned into that. This is a live broadcast, and that's what's going to let me know if something important has happened.
Do you have a satellite radio in your car?
In one of them.
Do you listen to, like, 80s music,
no,
70s, any
don't
music?
Don't usually listen to it. I listen to talk radio usually.
What do you listen to, baby?
I punch around. I punch around to this station, and I hear what 101's got, and I listen to 97.1, conservative radio a little bit, a little of everything.
Yeah, I listen to music on Sirius. And what is that, Sirius?
Yeah, I'll flip that's around there, but there are podcasts that I like. I'll be on that. That's what I'm on. Doug, that's what I'm on.
Yeah,
and Stern,
hear you.
But I just feel like I like Stern now for interviews, but I feel like there are fewer and fewer interviews. I don't know. So then as like a listener, I'm like irritated, not like mad, like I need to send Howard or his producers an angry email, which I am occasionally blessed enough to receive.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. But I'm just like, yeah. But then I sympathize with the audience when they're like, yeah, I would really like you guys to not. And for example, one point that I most definitely concede is the TMA Lives where Timber Fake hijacks the show. That's just over. That's coming to an end. And so I've actually had a couple of people offer up to stand in front of the dais.
Security guards.
Yes, we actually have to do that now to prevent the American Psycho guy.
You going to get some big burly woman?
That'd be hot. That'd be hot.
Yeah.
But a couple of gentlemen have offered their services. And so we're going to make TMA Lives great again.
Okay.
On December 1st. Hotshot South County.
Now, Jay Boyd did a nice job hosting us. He got me some wings. He put out buckets of beer on the dais that I don't think any of us
can
were
we
drinking.
Stop calling it a dais? Well, it's a dais. Table. It's a couple of tables pushed together.
Look, it's a highfalutin setup, and it was a dais. And so I think he put the beers up there either for us to enjoy or for the look of it. And Timberfake kept walking by looking at me like, can I have these? And drank every one of them.
I'm surprised he even asked.
Well, he gave a look.
And then just took them.
Yeah. Well, we weren't drinking them.
Yes, Seamus.
Well, one funny thing I noticed was that when Cam Jansen arrived, Timberfake kind of ran over to introduce himself.
A lot.
And I was kind of watching this, and I think he might have offered to get Cam a beer, then came up to the dais, took two.
Stop calling it a dais.
And gave one to Cam.
I saw that. And then as I was leaving, I went over to Timberfake, who I love. I love 2.0. And I said, you got to leave Cam alone. You got to give Cam a little space. And Cam had a look on his face like, thank you. Because Timberfake was all over him.
Well, we all have stories.
What do you think they were talking about?
I don't know. But it's always fun to go out and see the folks.
Those are always fun nights. Have a good time with those. Except every once in a while, there'll be a weird booking of a guest that, I don't know, I never get interested in hearing, but the wings get there, and that's when
The timing is everything, sir. The timing is everything.
And the booking of the guest you're speaking of is who?
Well, Bonnie Rotten, friend of the show, friend of 80s.
Yeah, that's the one. That's
but right. The wings at the Hot Shots are really good.
Oh, so yes.
When they arrive, and, you know, they're steaming hot, and you got the blue cheese
there.
Yeah,
I like that. You know,
Well, I like the Tim understands.
I had a heck of a chicken sandwich.
Did you?
Yeah.
You ate. I don't know what time you got there. I always arrive where I'm scheduled to be early because I was. I guess I was programmed that way as a kid. You know, especially in radio, TV, always be on time. So I'm always a little early. But you were way ahead of me, and you said, you already ate.
Mm-hmm.
And you already said you took a couple of guys' measures, too, that looked at you sideways.
Well, I put my wallet up on the bar just to kind of set the ground rules. And I said, there's not a man in this bar who can take this wallet from me. And a couple stepped up, and a couple were dispatched.
You couldn't be security because you're a professional pugilist. It wouldn't be fair, right?
Right. Well, they didn't know that.
Well, I will say this. It was packed, and our listeners are a loyal bunch, and they deserve our loyalty.
Tim, I would like to offer my services up to Doug. Thanks. That's from Southern Comfort.
As a security guard?
I don't know. That's just all I can read.
Maybe could fetch your tap water and grain of rice.
Bubbles was there, and he says, I offered Doug a beer, and he rejected it. What a big leaguer.
Well, the cap was off of it. Would you put anything past the people in that audience? Oh, you'll never believe what I did to this beer. Let's see if Doug will drink it.
What do you think, like dropped love in it?
Who knows?
Doug, in all fairness,
I'm not going to accept a beer from a guy I don't really know with the cap off the beer.
In all fairness, I agree with you, but I'll say something else so as to make you seem the bad guy. I don't know why you wouldn't trust our listeners.
Nice. Yeah. If someone comes up with an open drink, you just say, sure, let me guzzle that down.
Next thing you know, you're in the back of a Chevy Nova with your pants around your
right.
ankles.
That's how Pedro Guerrero got Mickey Finned. Remember that story?
I've heard a few.
He was in Houston or something, I think.
Probably not really.
Oh, he got
air
Mickey
quality.
Finned. He got Mickey Finned. You never know. I'm just a little suspicious. Someone walks up with an open drink. I just imagine three or four other guys say, let's see if he drinks it. Let's see if he does. Oh, he drank it. Yeah, I don't need that. I appreciate the offer, of course. But if the top had still been on the beer, maybe I would have enjoyed it. But if you've opened the top and it's just an open drink, and I don't think so.
Plus, also, I think you and I know Tim, very careful about drinking and getting behind a wheel of a car.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah, I really don't do that. And it's not because I'm some kind of hero, especially now in 2016. You got to get an Uber, and that's that. You know.
Or how about this? You go out to dinner, have a beer, and that's it.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
But, I mean, people
ruin
do like
your
the booze,
world.
And that's fine. Just get an Uber, especially now.
I think what keeps people from doing that is then the hassle of going back and getting their car later or worried about where the car is parked. If you're doing it downtown somewhere, you can leave your car there overnight. I'd be a little leery about that.
If you're going with people, one person's a designated driver. Easy. Or that particular night, enjoy other things, but enjoy just one beer. How about that?
Yeah, that's hard to do for people. That's hard to do for anybody, just to have one beer.
I used to drink a lot more than I do now, so I understand. I've had my days of, you know, being youthful and doing that stuff. Now, if I have to drive, I would limit myself to one beer.
Yeah. But that's hard.
I know.
Because if you're going to be out at a party or a bar or something for 2 or 3 hours, you're going to have one beer. Okay, there's 5 minutes. What do you do with the rest of the time while everybody else is drinking and having a good time?
Entertained with great stories of my regional cable broadcasting career.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Well, you got to drink something. I mean, you can't sit there with your hands empty, can you? You got to get a water or iced tea or something after you're done
okay.
with the beer.
Yeah. Then
you
have,
do that.
Yeah. Get a Coke, Diet Coke, maybe some trail mix. Believe
they don't
me,
have trail mix. I can be. I can don't have trail mix.
I can have trail mix in one hand and a Coca-Cola in the other and still be as glib as if I had 17 gin and tonics.
Is that a fact?
I like the gin and tonics.
Yeah.
Got a unique spot right now in the text inbox where there's like a lot of anger coming in from one account. And then the canine posse we have is able to kind of do a little diligence while you guys talk about Doug getting roofied.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that the person has 4 court records. And you go, ah!
4 court records?
Yeah.
How can you tell that?
We have.
Someone's got one of those accounts, that People Finder, friends. Whatever it is.
No. We have people who would do people finding for us. Because when it gets a little weird, and then they start talking about people's license plates and cars, then you go, okay, let me look into this. And then you go, and then you get your information back, and you go,
So we were getting killed about
not that's one thing. Getting ripped is all part of the reindeer games. We rip, they rip, everybody rips. Have a rip. But when it gets a little more, then you go, okay, that's a little weird. Let me look into this.
Yeah.
And then the person looks into it, and then we go, ah.
See, I took it away.
I had it one time where we had one that was really weird, and a friend of the feather.
Cardinal fan.
Right. Did the research because we've had some incidents, unfortunately. This was a couple years ago, so it's gotten worse really recently. And then sent over a screenshot of this person's driver's license after the diligence was done, and mm-hmm. It was one of the scariest damn things. I don't know if I think I showed you guys, but it was a couple years ago. I think I still have it. Whoa.
Just the driver's license picture.
The picture was chilling, much less than you see what the arrest record was. So, with prisoners, Doug, sometimes come texts. Charlie posted something on the fan pin, and you joined the fan pin this weekend, and you love it.
I didn't.
Charlie posted something on the fan page. Did you happen to see this, Sea Monster? It was basically...
I did. He had to, like, issue a statement.
Doug, I'll tell you, it's getting a little weirder than it's ever been.
He issued something so horrible and graphic that he had to apologize?
Not Charlie at all. Somebody, I guess, is sending Charlie hate messages for not being on the fan page or something. I don't understand it. God, there's so many damn posts, many of which are of the same thing.
Why would anyone care if someone else isn't a member of a website?
I'm a little ticked at Charlie for not being on there.
No, he is. I don't know exactly what it is that happened, but something happened where Charlie was on the fan page and this guy wasn't, and he was pissed off at Charlie.
I believe my recollection was that somebody was messaging Charlie. He defriended them from his personal page.
That's what it was.
And then this person was stirring up discontent on the fan page.
I didn't see that.
Boy, people don't like it if you block them.
Block him!
God, it is something else.
So did you block this fellow that was stirring it up?
I don't know
just
who it was.
Block him!
I don't sit by the... Here it is. I'm embarrassed to even have to write this. But I just want everyone to know that I have never and would never ask for somebody to be kicked off the fan page. As I was just accused of today by someone. And Timothy Michael McKernan can attest to this. I can't attest to that. That has never happened.
Mm-hmm.
I defriended a listener on my personal Facebook page, and then he accused me of getting him kicked off the fan page. That never happened, and I have no idea what he's talking about. Thank you. Enjoy your weekend.
Why would you even feel motivated to issue a statement?
He must be getting some weird... I'm telling you, the emails I get from people who act like an ass on the fan page and then go, I don't know what I did. You must have thin skin. I go, oh, my God. But Charlie's now getting it as well.
Well, Charlie has been acting up a little.
He has been, you know, staunch Hillary supporter.
Please.
Maybe that's what started it. What does a person have to do to get blocked from the fan page?
It's really anything is welcome as far as expressing opinion. I mean, my God, the thing over the last few weeks has been like crossfire on CNN. May it rest in peace. People arguing, God bless, whatever, opinion. Be welcome, but if you start acting like an ass, then it's just like there's no need for it. This isn't like subject to First Amendment rules. I'm trying to just keep it to be a relatively pleasant place, but if you can tell some people have anger issues and it's clear, you just go, okay, that's it. We don't need it.
But if for whatever reason, blocked from the fan page and it really pissed me off.
That guy got it, huh?
Tim, how do you think this would go if I joined the fan page with the sole purpose of just posting pictures of what I do with my pottery studio? Do you think that would be popular?
Controversial is what it is.
Do you think that would be well received? Do you think people want to take a peek at some of my works?
They might. Don't say works, but they might. They might enjoy seeing it. What if he made a vase or ashtray or something?
Oh, and then some.
Really? Well, you might try that. You've never been a member, have you?
I just completed my first statue of Eli Marrero.
Did you?
Really nice.
All right. He got hurt out in right field.
Yeah.
Right now, Doug, if you go to the fan page, there are four separate posts complaining about the podcasting issue that I said.
How about it's on the radio right now?
Yeah, but they want to start at the beginning of the show. Because what if we had a hot take that they're going to
miss?
Well,
we didn't.
Like,
we didn't.
No. Cam Chancellor was all over Rob Gronkowski.
Oh.
These games are important.
Yeah. Come on, Zebra. Give us some good markings.
Hey, Mo, we better get a center fielder up in here. Notice what the Cubs did?
Yeah. Okay, there. So we've repeated the hot takes. So now you don't have to podcast. The show is on now.
People like the PLTD.
I guess
once you start PLTDing, it's tough to go back.
And they have time to complain about it on this said fan page.
They love the show, so I'm grateful for their love to the show.
Yeah.
And if there's a technical issue, that's our responsibility to shoot and fix it.
I have a legitimate question about podcasting.
Pose your query.
You're going to sit down, and you're not in the car. You're somewhere at home or something, podcasting like the Dickens. Do you get more enjoyment by having a delicious treat while you're podcasting? And if so, what is Tim McKernan's treat of choice to podcast like the Dickens with?
I don't really podcast.
Please say great question.
No, it's a great question. Tim. But I don't really podcast while sitting at home.
Oh, brother. Get a load of this guy.
It's a car and office thing. It's
podcasting
a car and
fraud.
Office thing.
Yeah. Podcasting fraud.
No, it's a car and office thing.
Yeah. I don't ever listen to the radio sitting around at home either.
About the old transistor radio under your pillow and listening to Jack and Mike bring the action to you.
I did that as a kid, that's for sure.
See?
But now there's TVs everywhere, so I just find myself watching TV.
We get it. It's a lucrative industry you've selected. You've done rather well. We get it.
Well, doesn't everybody have about three TVs now? Three, maybe four?
I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You have one in the family room?
Mm-hmm.
You have one in your bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
You have a little one in the kitchen?
Nope.
You have one in the basement?
No, we have the one in the we have an open floor plan, and the one in the living room is so big you can see it from anywhere.
Oh, yeah, wow, it is a lucrative business.
Doug, you blocked me on Twitter due to a political disagreement. No vileness. Doug, are you willing to extend an olive branch and unblock me? I don't know who that is, Doug, but it's from the 314.
I don't know. Yeah, I get a lot of racist stuff sometimes on there.
Racist stuff?
Yeah.
What, for being a cock?
I don't think I've gotten anything racist in my 7 years on Twitter.
Yeah.
Although I'm not very active these days.
Just for being a Republican, I guess.
Is that right? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe I should just go, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to tweet whatever's in my mind and just go, what the hell? Doesn't matter. And just know that I'm, like, I tweet. I was watching the Clemson-Pittsburgh game, and I had dug a three-team, what I call, sweet hat teaser.
Mm-hmm.
And I had lowered Alabama from 29 to 19, which, of course, wasn't even a sweat. Teased Vanderbilt up to getting 13 against the Gers, so that covered. And then I teased Clemson and Pittsburgh down to 11, which, of course, I lost since Pittsburgh won the game. But I was watching the game, and the officiating truly was dreadful. Dreadful. And I mean, Dabo Sweeney was going ballistic on this. It was legitimately bad. Like, the crowd was just booing every single play, and it truly was bad. I didn't care if Clemson won. At that point, I wasn't going to win my bet anyway. But then I tweeted something out because there were some bad calls that went for Missouri in the Vanderbilt game, and I knew that a lot of the action was on Vanderbilt on Saturday. So I thought that was awfully intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of strange what was going on there, but usually I think that stuff's going on in the NFL.
That last touchdown Missouri scored was clearly offensive pass.
Oh, my God. With Jamon Moore, right?
Yeah.
The push-off? I mean,
uh-huh.
And right before that, there was a stiff arm face mask. Now, that doesn't get called all that often, but the push-off, and the announcers even called attention to it. Whatever. I don't care. Won the bet. Doesn't matter. But the point is I just made a brief observation about the officiating, and then it was like, you know, immediate tweets, like, what the hell's your problem? And I'm just like, why even bother with it? Why even bother? I mean,
just
it doesn't
blocking.
Matter. No, but they're, you know, it's a, but then if you can just get to a point where, like, you don't care, then you can interact and with the people who aren't angry.
Well, don't
I
care.
Don't know.
I mean, Twitter, you choose how you use Twitter.
Well, I don't use it anymore. I barely use it.
I'll answer
communicating with people on email or on the Facebook page, even though I know there are fake accounts there. We can't get them all out. But I love communicating with the audience because that way I can find things like this podcasting issue for the 7 o'clock hour now. If we didn't have a fan page, I don't know if I would know about it until, you know, an hour or
two. I like interacting with people on Twitter to a certain extent when I feel it's appropriate. Not that there's rules when I have, how come you answered this one, not that. What do you – I do – I answer what I choose to, but – and the fact that you're limited in how many characters you – okay, then you can move on, answer, or, you know, discuss something and then move on. But sometimes I get blocked for no reason.
What are you talking about,
Doug?
I blocked him. Mean-spiritedness. I blocked Charlie for a while, too.
You've unblocked Charlie, but the cat's still
blocked?
Well,
Charlie gave me a ride when my car battery died.
Yeah, why don't you kill Doug's car and then give him a ride, and you can see what he has to say. Doug, you don't tweet much either.
Not much. Not usually. I do for a while. I go in spurts where I feel strongly about something.
Yeah, like
horrible
me too.
Rams
like last
game
night,
or something.
I thought to myself, what if the super moon had baseball seams and it looked like a baseball? So I tweeted that.
And it got like 200 likes. You want to talk about lemmings? I mean, nobody has more lemmings than you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That stupid tweet got 200 likes.
A tweet about the moon needs baseball seams? That's what you said?
I don't look at how many likes or retweets. I tweet what I think might be amusing to me. So I thought to myself, I wonder if I could figure out how to put, because I saw it and I go, it looks like a baseball. I'm going to put seams on
it. Who did that? Did you
me.
Do that? You did that? Look at you, Photoshop.
I'm a little artist. Sometimes I need help. I got to get Henshin in there. Or D-Bear. Those guys are great.
D-Bear's the best in the business.
How'd you do that? How'd you put seams on the moon?
I found an app for drawing on pictures, and it's free, so I did it, and then I took away the app after I figured out how to do it.
What do you mean you took away the app?
I mean I deleted the app.
Why?
Because I don't need the app.
You may
want to
do it again.
Well, then I'll download it again.
You went through all that trouble of downloading, finding the app, downloading it.
It took like 30, 40 seconds. You just Google draw on a picture in the app store. Search in the app store. There it is. You download it, then you do it, and then you delete it.
Then how'd you draw on it?
With my finger.
You just touch the screen, and you could make little baseball seams in the moon proper. And you did this all for those 200-some-odd likes.
I did it all for that, and because I thought it was funny.
All right.
Look, I'm an artist. You've seen some of my works.
Yep.
I know you're a potterist.
Look, if you don't think I'm an artist, ask Steve Aoki. He knows I'm an artist. Sometimes artists just hang out.
Where do you think I'm going to see him?
Probably be at a show somewhere in the
Midwest,
yeah.
Text in your thoughts on the Cats tweet, 855-CUB-TALK. That's 855-282-8255, where you can call on the appliance discounter phone lines. We are at Ryan Kelly's world headquarters. Doug, do you know anything about Ryan Kelly? Anything whatsoever?
I just went through a refinance with Ryan Kelly, and I'll tell you what, I could not be any happier.
Wait.
I went from a 20-year to a 15-year loan. I went from like 4.1 to about 2.87%. I'm making a lower payment with less years, and I took money out of the equity that I already had in the house, and it's lower. It's a win-win-win deal for me. It's all about me, and I won big time when I refinanced with Ryan Kelly, and he can do the same thing for you. If you're interested in saving money, hundreds of dollars a month, potentially tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan, you really need to get in and see Ryan Kelly today because he can save you money and do it in a big, big way. Number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest. Number three in the nation last year for VHA volume. And number nine in the country for most loans closed last year. Why does he close so darn many loans? Because he has great service and low, low rates.
Talking about
Here's
you,
his phone
sir.
Number. 314-781-9700.
Doug is right now. He is. I tell you.
314-781-9700. He also has a website, and the website is thehomeloanexpert.com. Just spell that right out.
Right.
Thehomeloanexpert.com. From Poughkeepsie to Potosi, Ryan Kelly's the guy to go see. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
There it is. Ryan Kelly, our title sponsor, and where we are broadcasting from today. Cam Jansen going to be with us at 9 o'clock. The former Blues enforcer and soon-to-be co-host of our new afternoon drive show, second half of afternoon drive. We are live leading into Cam, TJ Moe, Hannah Ray, Eric Messersmith, and Matthew Whitener. That's our program from 4 to 7. Doug, that begins on November 28th, the first Monday after the Thanksgiving holiday.
Okay.
Or Thanksgiving break, as you like to call it.
I don't call it much of a break. I do have an answer why Mizzou's on CBS.
There's nothing else going on?
No. The LSU-Florida rescheduled game messed up the CBS program.
Ah.
Good
so
answer,
will
Doug,
Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson have to call
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the great Scott Stream just texted that to me.
Oh, the big Scott Stream guy.
Yeah. So that messed up CBS's schedule when
there
that game got called off.
I'm certain they weren't expecting.
Probably not. They scrambled to find something to fill it with.
And then what Missouri's done after that, after the Friday after Thanksgiving, and that wraps that up. There's another season in the books.
No bowl game this year. I know you're a big fan of some of those bowls, especially the ones down in Shreveport.
We go to bowls around here. That's what we do on Kai. Well, we got six wins.
It's the game.
Six wins.
It's the game you care the least about of the entire season. Is the
disagree?
Bowl.
I mean,
it's a degenerate gambling festival.
Disagree. If you get it, you get your team in a good bowl, you get excited.
A good one, maybe. When is the last time Missouri? Well, they played the SEC title game, so I can't.
Oh,
say.
Oh yeah, that's
I
the
can't
best. That's
complain
that's,
about
that's
that.
That's the best. You can't. But I'm telling you, you know, at the end of do you guys the cat you might watch? Do you watch Last Week Tonight, John Oliver?
No.
Last night was his season finale. I was anxious to get his perspective on the election and really focused on just 2016 as a whole and how brutal it's been. And it really has been, actually. But that's globally, nationally. But locally, it's been just dreadful. I mean, I think about one of my favorite sporting events I've attended was Missouri-Auburn. To just to walk in and see my alma mater in the Georgia Dome play in the SEC Championship game, you just don't think that's even ever possible, first off, because they were in a different conference, but secondly, that they're essentially in a semifinal for the national championship playing in the SEC title game, which is like a Super Bowl. And then, you know, a month and a half earlier, the Cardinals were in the World Series. Blues had been in the playoffs. So all these things, and then you look at this year, comparatively speaking, Cardinals don't go to the playoffs. It was kind of a okay season, I suppose, but you know, I don't think you ever really felt like they were, even if they got in, poised to make a run. The Blues gave us some thrills this year, and you'll always have that Blackhawks game 7. But the Rams leaving, I mean, this has been, you know, Missouri football's just irrelevant. It's hell. There's
basketball.
Apathy in Columbia.
Illinois is no good either. If you're going to go that way,
jeez, Marion.
St. Louis U struggle.
I am telling you, I don't recall a year like this sports-wise.
No.
Around here in a while. And it's a shame because it is a year where the Blues went the furthest that they had gone in 15 years. But then to follow it up with what looks like, well, at the very least, the start is lackluster, but whether or not the team itself is lackluster is still to be determined. But it's a little rough out of the gate, I'll tell you that. And there are even Blues fans, you know, where I was kind of whatever critiqued, and I understand why, because the Cardinals had been so good for so long that before the season, saying I didn't think they were going to be that great. And I understand there's a track record of just being great around here for so many years. But with the Blues, when the over-under on either points or wins came out before the season, a lot of Blues fans were like, ooh, I'm going under on that. So Blues fans, oftentimes the most passionate wing of fan bases you will find locally, for them to say, I don't feel too good about the upcoming year, and then you see it play out, then you're like, oh, maybe this thing isn't going to turn around. You know, whether they make a coaching change, whether I just don't know. I don't know where it would come from. I worry that what we're seeing right now is more indicative of who they actually are as opposed to a slow start.
Yeah, that could be. There hasn't been a whole lot to get excited about so far. When a team doesn't score, it's just kind of not very interesting to watch.
And when you get shipped like that in Columbus, I mean, what in the hell?
Yeah, there's a couple times they've had games like that. Columbus put up 10 against Montreal last week.
And then you're coming off, Fabry played in that game, but he's coming off a game where he got benched for not being intense enough, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that tells you that there are some issues going on.
Right.
Guys, where would you put Cal May giving Madden the Butch Patrick picture as far as ranking on local sports moments this year? Sincerely, the Vianney father-son dance chaperone.
I'm going to say top five.
It's near the top, yeah. Yeah, it's something that this town had never seen before, had waited a long time to see it, and it happened.
I missed it. And quite frankly, I'm disappointed I wasn't there for that historic.
I didn't see it either, you know, but I've heard a lot about
Derek
it.
Derek Gould covered it. He was there.
Derek
said he couldn't believe what his eyes were seeing.
He covers everything on the Cardinal beat.
And, you know, Madden came to the ballpark thinking, what does today hold,
right,
you know, for me and the team? Boy, if he only knew.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's probably not a coincidence that his club went all the way, buoyed by that moment.
Now, if I said buoyed, you'd say don't say buoyed.
That's a nice word that I worked in right there. I'm a bit of a wordsmithy.
Guys, how about a show somewhere near 40 and McKnight? Give something to the peeps who don't go south of Manchester, west of Lindbergh, or north of Del Mar. That's from Patrick at Immaculata.
Well, that's where we are now.
I think by definition, we are. We are not south of Manchester.
No.
We are not west of Lindbergh, and we are not north of Del Mar.
No, none of that. We're Central Corridor right now, fellas. Yeah.
What
does
it matter?
It takes,
like
Washington
takes 15
Park,
minutes.
Illinois also would fit that. Home of the Hustler Club to you and me, Russ, Audrey. Doug, did you get over there to see Bonnie Raitt?
You know what? I didn't. That was never really on my schedule. I'm not sure I could find the Hustler Club if I was looking for it.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah. I really feel bad about not getting over there.
I guess we could set up shop at 40 and McKnight.
Yeah, this would be a fine place to do the show every day.
Well, no, 40 and McKnight.
40 and McKnight? Well, what's there? That's just an exit.
Yeah, Tilly's Park. We'll do the Winter Wonderland. We'll do it in a horse-drawn carriage, a hansom cab ride, if you will.
Yeah, and just walk around.
All snuggled up together.
Walk around in the carriage.
My body
hours.
Heat will keep you warm, boy.
Okay.
I'm excited about this.
That's where they have all the lights and everything?
That's right.
I've done that. And I'll tell you what, you can sit in your car. The traffic is insane.
Yeah.
So you got to pick your spot. And I hope I don't hear the words that I dread. Hey, maybe we ought to go there this year.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times. And it's like $10 just to drive through.
I don't even
it.
Care about the $10. I care about sitting and waiting. You're 40 minutes. You can't even see the place.
And then you have to act like, oh, this is just the greatest thing I've ever seen, whether it is or isn't, because you've waited there for so long.
Oh, I've got a lot of action on the ladder.
Look at that. They have Santa with lights.
Yeah, never seen such a thing before.
Reindeers floating and lights.
It's a nice little, if you had little kids and you took the carriage ride, it'd be a fun.
But all right, if you have a kid my son's age, how many
He'd
times
like
is
it.
Enough? No, we took him once or twice. Yeah. One time we went and we were never going to get there, so we just bailed because it was so packed. But how many times is the right amount for your kid to see that you have to?
It's the kind of thing you just zip it up and you go along with the ride and you put up with it and you just wait till it's over and say, okay, I did that. Check.
You just summed it up.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. I loved it and look forward to doing it again. And it has nothing to do with the text I just received.
That you're going. Yeah, that's one of those things as a husband and father. Okay, I'll just do this. I'll keep my mouth shut best I can. And this will be over soon.
Honey, that was duck talk.
I'll get back to the couch. I'll get back to the couch. There's a game on.
I leave it up to Tyler. If he's in the car, I leave it up to Tyler. If he wants to go, we're going.
Yeah. Well, you're at that stage. Yeah. You kind of live for the kids at that stage
of
your life.
Guys, how about a show in Granite City? I lost my license in St. Louis. It's too far to ride my bike. Thanks. That's from Rory Pepperpaws.
He lost his license over here?
I don't know.
I met some guys from Granite City there on the Thursday night.
There was a guy who came all the way down from Springfield, Illinois to watch the show.
Nice guy.
Yes, he was.
Nice
Great
guy.
American.
These Granite City guys were kind of throwing insults at me, and I said, you know what? It's no wonder they shut down the steel mill over there.
Nice take.
Yeah. I hit him with the economy.
Hey, we got a break because Cam Jansen is going to join us on the other side.
Oh,
break
okay.
Talking blues, hockey, and his new program. That is coming up here at 9 o'clock. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The email of the day, $10 gift certificate to Salt Smoke is the prize for our email of the day. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. We are broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios today on the road at Ryan Kelly's World Headquarters, thehomeloanexpert.com. This is the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS.